He's an awesome God. Amen. He's an awesome, awesome God. Anybody, Brother Cook asked, anybody have ever experienced that awesomeness in your life? Experienced him being a healer in your life? Amen. Matter of fact, not only that, there are some folks in here who may not have experienced it yet, but you're in the need of him healing you. Amen. That God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Amen. Because he's perfect in all of his ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. Say that. You're perfect in all of your ways. Come on, just say that. Say, Lord, you're perfect in all. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. Come on, you're good. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect in all of your ways. Say that, come on. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. Come on, say, God, you're perfect in all your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. Hallelujah. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. Dear God, we declare today that you're an awesome God. You're an awesome God who's perfect in all of your ways. You're incapable of wrong. And your word says, God, in you there is no darkness. No darkness at all. And we praise you and we honor you today. We honor you as being an awesome and mighty God. A God who is able to do exceeding above all we can ask or imagine. A God who is able to heal. A God who is able to guide and lead us. Our protector and our provider. God, and most of all, you are the lover of our soul. We thank you, Lord God, because your word has shown us that we are the apple of your eye. And we are thankful, Lord God, for your unspeakable gift that you loved us enough that you ran after us. We thank you, Lord God. I thank you for pursuing me. Not because there's anything in me worth pursuing, but because you made me to love me. And we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy, God, and for your grace. God, I'm thankful for the grace that took away my disgrace. God, we thank you, Lord, that your love is unconditional. We're thankful today that you're a patient God, that even when I drop the ball, that you don't turn your back on me. So grateful, Lord, that your mercy is new every single morning. You're faithful, you're faithful, you're faithful. God, even when I am unfaithful, you remain faithful. And we're grateful for that this morning. We love you, God. And we thank you that you loved us first. And God, we thank you for the privilege this morning to come and sit under and hear your word. God, we are thankful for your word. Thankful, Lord, that you didn't leave us here to try to navigate life without direction. But that, God, you have given us your word as a guidebook for living. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit that comes alongside us to be our comforter and our guide. And God, we pray today that if there's somebody under the sound of my voice who's never come to experience your love, that they'll come to experience it today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give God a hand praise this morning? Happy September, everybody. I'm trying to find my handkerchief. Happy September. Do we have any September birthday celebrants here? Anybody birthday in the month of September? If your birthday is in the month of September, can we have you stand really quick? If your birthday is in the month of September, could you all stand, all of our September people? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Don't sit down. Sit down. Don't sit down. Happy birthday. Can we all say happy birthday? Amen. We're so glad that you're here. If you are a member or if you're a guest, we're so glad that you're here with us today. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to you. Come on, May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. Amen. Amen. September is back to school. Our kids go back to school some. I think D.C. has already started. Started school like 2 weeks, I think. And Maryland schools, I think, go back to school on Tuesday. So the traffic should be bad on the way to work. But we praise God. And we praise God for all of our college students who did get away and got settled in. We ask that you continue to keep them in prayer and lifting them up. Amen. Last month, the month of August, was movie month. We had a good time. We did 3 month movies. We were supposed to do 4, but I kind of got ill in the middle of one of those. So we are going to have that last movie night coming up. That will be forthcoming. But we did 3 movies, The Black Panther, we did The Incredibles, and we did Remember the Titans. Remember the Titans. And so we had a good time with movie month on August. But this month, the month of September, we're going to be dealing with a book in the Bible that is one of my favorite books and probably many of your favorite books. And it's the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs has a whole lot of good stuff in it. And this month, we're going to be talking about how to foolproof our lives, because the Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And this morning, we're going to just be talking about how we can gain wisdom. We titled our message this morning, this is called Wise Up, How to Gain Wisdom. Because I'm here to tell you that, you know what, that in the world in which we live today, that we see a lot of stuff that is the opposite of wisdom. I was reading something the other day. I read it to my wife, I think it was last night, and it was hilarious. There was this website that shows some of the dumbest things that people have done. Anybody ever watched one of those dumbest criminal shows? Well, there was this one website that chronicled what one guy did. It was a guy in West Virginia, in rural West Virginia somewhere. His name was Alfred. I don't know his last name. But it said that his house had termites. And he read somewhere that natural gas was very poisonous. So he figured, and it was poisonous, and it was cheap. It was a cheap way. So he figured that what he would do to get rid of the termites is fumigate his house. This is a true story. He would fumigate his house with natural gas. So what he did, turn on the stove. He and his wife left the house for a day. They went to some kind of place. They camped in a trailer park somewhere, and they just kind of hung out overnight. And the next day, he let the gas run all night. The next morning, he said, okay, let me go check on the house. He opened the lock, and the spark from the lock ignited that gas. Blew him off his front porch all the way to a nearby creek. It cut out all the power in the town, blew the doors off the church in the town. I mean, it was, and he got to be medevaced to a hospital somewhere in West Virginia. Now, I'm here to tell you, all of us look and say, that is a stupid, stupid man. That was not a wise decision, was it? And oftentimes we see a lot of people make unwise decisions. I know my kids always love to watch America's Funniest Home Videos, and it's amazing to watch some of the unwise things that people choose to do. But this morning, what we're gonna do is look about how God's Word will tell us how we can be wise, not in little trivial things like that, but on just how to navigate life. How to navigate life. And one thing I learned, that with age does not necessarily come wisdom. Anybody ever seen some old fools? some people who got the age but don't have the wisdom. Look at the Bible. The Bible in James chapter 1 says, if any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. And this morning, we're going to look at how we can gain wisdom. We're going to start in the book of Proverbs, the first chapter of Proverbs. And we're going to look, our main verses is verse 20 through 23. 20 to 23. So you can turn there. Before we read that, though, I want to read the first six or seven verses of Proverbs. It's not on the screen. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Proverbs 1. I'm going to read the first six or seven verses of Proverbs chapter 1, because what it does there, it tells us what the purpose of the book is. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And it reads, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. If you can look at verses 20 and 23, I'm going to read that as well. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls out to the crowds along the main street and to those in front of City Hall. You simpleton, she cries. How long will you go on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools fight the facts? Come here and listen to me. I'll pour out the spirit of wisdom on you and make you wise. This morning, as we talk about wisdom, on how to gain wisdom and how to wise up, I think it's important that we deal with definitions. And I think the purpose in our passage in Proverbs 1 helps us gain a definition of wisdom. And let's look, I'm going to give us two definitions of wisdom here. Number one, wisdom is the ability to discern what is true, right, or lasting, and act accordingly. Wisdom is the ability to discern what is true, right, or lasting, and act accordingly. And number two, wisdom is the opposite of foolishness. Wisdom is the opposite of foolishness. So wisdom is not just information. Wisdom has to do with application. So you can get information. How many know a lot of people have information, but they don't have application? And so this morning, we want to talk about how we can get the information that God is giving to us and apply it to our lives in a right fashion, to discern what is true, right, lasting, and act accordingly. How do I become a wise person? Our acronym this morning is WISE. Everybody say WISE. If you want to acquire wisdom, you want to be wise, I'm going to give us four things this morning. The first letter in WISE is what? W. The first letter in WISE is W. W stands for you got to weigh the worth of wisdom. You must weigh the worth of wisdom. What do I mean here? In order for you to be wise, number one, you must understand wisdom's value. You have to have an appreciation for the value of wisdom. Let's look at in the passage right here. I want you to flip over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 says, happy is the person who finds wisdom and gains understanding, for the profit of wisdom is better than silver. Her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. If you want to be wise, number one, you got to have an appreciation for the value of wisdom. You got to value it. All around us every day, listen, we see people who don't put a value on wisdom. Social media has made it very easy for you to see people who don't value wisdom. And the thing about it is, some of these people are people that our young people look up to. They're celebrities. They're people who have a lot of wealth. They're people who have a lot of fame, but they don't have a lot of wisdom. in fact, I say this, not only celebrities, sometimes we see our own government rulers don't have a whole lot of wisdom. That's a whole nother message. They don't have a lot of wisdom. I was watching, how many of you watched Aretha Franklin's funeral the other day? Some people don't have a lot of wisdom. Have y'all, I mean, God bless the Queen of Soul. I mean, some of us love Aretha. Aretha has written some great music. But was it a 10-hour funeral? Was it 10 hours? Something like that? 8 to 10-hour funeral? And then after 8 hours, I got to sit and listen to another 45-minute sermon. Some people don't have a lot of wisdom. No matter what your education level, no matter what your financial level, if you don't put a value on wisdom, you will never be wise. You'll never be wise unless you value it. And listen, what does it say here? The passage says here in the Bible in Proverbs 3, he says, happy is the person who finds it, for the profit of wisdom is better than silver, her wages better than gold, more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire in life can compare to her. See, it's not, there's so many people right now who are chasing after wealth. They're chasing after money. They want to know how to get rich. They want to know how to get wealthy. I'm here to tell you, you don't even have to worry about that. The Bible is telling us, listen, you chase after wisdom and all of that other stuff falls into place. And how do I chase after wisdom? Listen, you got to chase after him. When you chase after the word of God, therein lies wisdom. He said, look, but in the passage, he says, listen, she offers you life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. Just think about what that says. Most people that you know, what do they want out of life? What do they want? Nobody wants to die. Y'all know anybody who just said, I just want to die. Everybody wants to live. And live an abundant, vibrant life. He said, wisdom will offer you life on one hand, and then not only will it offer you life, but it will offer you riches and honor if you just get the wisdom. Stop chasing the life, stop chasing the riches and the honor, and chase the wisdom, and everything else falls into place. And if you really want to chase, if you really value wisdom, then you're going to what? Value the word of God. So number one, if you want to be wise, what must you do in order to do that? You must value the word of God, and you must value wisdom beyond everything. He said, nothing you can desire in life compares to that. Sometimes, you know what I recognize, though, is the longer you live, sometimes you make some mistakes in life, and you get wiser after you make some mistakes. And I know a lot of time when you were younger, you thought you were wise. Can you ever look back on some of the stuff you used to do? It's like, man, that was stupid, right? And you didn't put a value on wisdom. You did some bad things with your money. You did some bad things in your marriage. And now you look back on it, and now that you value wisdom, it's just an amazing thing. And marriage is a great place to see this, putting a value on wisdom. Listen, knowing what battles are worth fighting. I put a value on that wisdom. Listen, it's not worth me being right. It's not worth what's fair. Sometimes you got to set, wisdom will do that to you. You got to put a value on wisdom. This morning, if you want to be wise, you got to value it more than anything else. You got to weigh the worth of wisdom. Number two, if you want to be wise, the letter I in wisdom it stands for an intense fear of God. An intense fear of God. If you want to be wise, you must have an intense fear of God. I was reading a story and preparing for this about a guy who was a cab driver in Los Angeles. And he was driving his cab, and he dropped off a gentleman at the airport, at LAX at the airport, and he pulled off, and he didn't recognize that the passenger had left a little pouch in the seat. And this guy, he drove his cab all around town. He picked up somebody else, drove them from LAX to Long Beach. He had gone to some other places. Then he met another cab driver, and they went to lunch. And when they got back to the car, what he noticed that there was a pouch in the car that must have belonged to one of his passengers. And he asked his friend to open the pouch. And when he opened the pouch, there were little bags in there, and there were diamonds in them. The value of the diamonds was over $350,000 worth of diamonds in that pouch. And not only was that in the bag, it was a bag, was some bags full of diamonds, and then there was a bill in there. There was a phone bill. Somebody's phone bill was in the bag. So what did he do? What would you have done? He looked at the phone bill, and he contacted the person whose name was on the phone bill and said, have you misplaced the bag? And the gentleman was so grateful. He said, listen, I'm going to give you a reward. He was so thankful. He met the man. He gave him his bag back. And some people asked him, did you ever consider just keeping the bag? And he said, I didn't think about it not one time. He said, you know why he said? Because God is watching. He said, listen, I didn't even give it a second thought. He said, because God is up there and he's always watching. And what, if you want to be wise, there must be an intense fear of God. What this man expressed is that, listen, it's not about who around sees me. It's not about if you see me or if you see me. I know that he sees me. The Bible here in Proverbs chapter 9, another wonderful proverb says, Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in understanding. So we said, listen, number one, what you got to do, you got to weigh wisdom's value, but really where it starts is the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It all starts with fearing God. If you have no fear of God, then listen, you will not be wise. That's the only way to be truly wise. How do I know that? Right now, in the world in which we live, there are so many people who are trying to prove that there is no God. That's the most unwise philosophy. And they try to live their life. They have a humanistic worldview. And a lot of these people have a lot of knowledge. They have a lot of knowledge. But Bible said, listen, you can have a lot of knowledge, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I read earlier that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. It all starts here. If you're here today, if you want to truly be wise, if you want to make good decisions, it all starts in understanding who God is. To understand, if you don't know who God is and that God, listen, God created you and who you are in relationship to God. A fear of the Lord is not like just be shaking in your boots. It's not like that. It's not like I'm afraid he's about to beat me over the head if I do something wrong. Every time I do something wrong, God's going to spank me. A fear of the Lord is a reverential awe. Oh, Lord, you are my king, and I'm in awe of you. That's what it is. It's like we are awe of him. When you come into his presence, you bow at his feet. That I fear that he is watching everything I do and that I was created for his glory. See, wisdom starts with you recognizing that there is a God and he created me to bring him glory. That's where wisdom starts. You got to understand its worth, but then you must have an intense fear of God. My question to you is, where is your fear of God? You know, there's a lot of times that we're tempted to do things. I know yesterday we had a flood in our basement. Many of you know that. It's like when it rains, it pours. Anybody ever had it when it rains, it pours? Man, my basement flooded. Okay. Then my washing machine went out. Right, so the washing machine went out. Then, now the air conditioning gone out. The man said, I need a new air. So it's all at one time. I said, good gracious. So that, I say that to say, my washing machine went out. Tracy went and got a new washing machine. But, I'm cheap. So instead of paying the people to take the old washing machine, I figured I'd wait and I'd get somebody to help me lift it up and I'd get rid of it. So yesterday, me and Roselle, we got the pickup truck. And he went to the house. We loaded that washing machine up. And I'm taking it. You know, I'm driving around trying to take it to the used appliance place. They closed. Called another one. No, we don't take that. What in the world? I got this washing machine in the back. What am I going to do with it? Can't take it. Goodwill's not going to take it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, man, where can I just leave this washing machine at? Can I just be honest with y'all? Because I'm like, okay, there's got to be some side of a building somewhere, dumpster somewhere. We can just put this washing machine. And we were riding down the street. And we passed this house, and Rosa said, man, that house is abandoned. You see them people, all that stuff is out. They got stuff out there. And we sitting there thinking, well, if we the washing machine, they ain't going to be. Are they stuff already outside? Maybe we just put it there with the rest of the stuff. But guess what? Nobody would have been watching, but who's watching? So the washing machine's still in the back of the pickup truck. See, what it is that we got, when the fear of the Lord says, listen, man, as tempting as it is, it's not about whether the neighbors see me. It's not about whether the police sees me. It's about that God has established that there are laws and rules and that I don't obey. I'm not obeying the law of the land. I'm obeying him. I fear him. And I obey, and sometimes I'm inconvenienced. This man who found the diamonds had a pregnant wife, 40-year-old man, pregnant wife with two children. He's driving a cab. And he finds 10 diamonds in worth of $350,000. You don't think he needed that money? But he says there is a God up there, and he's always watching. See, just imagine in the world in which we live, if in our society, people who live with an intense fear of God, what would our society look like? I mean, what would it look like? And that's what God is saying. If you want to have wisdom, there's got to be a fear of him. But guess what? You don't. It's hard to fear somebody you don't know. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But how do you fear him? You got to come to understand. So the Bible says he who comes to God must first believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, you got to come to know who he is. Once he has revealed himself to you and you spend time in his presence, the more and more you become in awe of him. And then you'll be like Joseph, who said, I can't do this sin against God. Y'all know in the Bible, Joseph, y'all remember Joseph? When Joseph, in the Bible, Joseph, for those of you who don't know, Joseph was a man of God who had been sold into slavery by his brothers. He ended up in Egypt, and long story short, he ended up being a servant in one of the top rulers' homes. The guy's name was Potiphar. And he was living in this dude Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife was there all the time. And Joseph was a very handsome, strapping dude. And what would happen is Potiphar, when he was out doing whatever rulers do, his wife was at home while Joseph was there serving. And she was looking at this fine young man every day. And she started putting a press on him because she wanted him for herself. And Joseph said, my master is not here. He has not kept, listen, he's kept nothing from me except for you. And I'm not going to touch you. Joseph didn't say, I don't feel like touching you. Joseph was a man. And I'm sure because, you know, the rulers had to get the finest women. So I know she probably wasn't a bad looking sister. And Joseph didn't say, I don't feel like it. He just said, listen, it's because of the God I serve, I can't do this. Church, if we begin to live within the fear of God and say, there's certain that because of the God I serve, listen, I won't cheat on my taxes. Because of the God I serve, there's certain things I don't say out of my mouth. Because of the God I serve, there's certain people I won't choose to hang around. The book of Proverbs talks about all of these things. But it all starts with an intense fear of God. If you want to be wise, number one, you got to weigh the worth of wisdom. Number two, you have to have an intense fear of God. Number three, you must seek wise counsel. You must seek wise counsel. Listen, how many of you remember when you were younger, you're like 17, and you thought your parents didn't know anything? Anybody like that? Like, man, they don't even know what they're talking about. You know, you're trying to get your parents to let you do stuff, and they say no, and you just think they don't know what they're talking about, and now you're a parent. And it's like everything that your parents used to tell you, you repeating that same stuff you thought was so stupid. Anybody hear themselves saying the same old stuff? I say the same stuff my father and mother said. The same reasons why they wouldn't let me do stuff are the same reasons why I'm saying it to them. Why? Because it wasn't their reasons. It came from the Word. See, they gave wise counsel because they were given it from the Word. And if you want to be wise, listen, as a young person, sometimes you don't see the value of wisdom until you get a little bit older. But now, if you're older here under the sound of my voice, what you got to do, you got to seek wise counsel. And that doesn't stop. You got to keep doing that as long as you're here on this earth. See, if you want to be wise, you got to seek wise counsel. What does the Bible say? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Says, fools think they need no advice, But the wise listen to others. Fools think that. Have you ever met somebody, you can't tell them anything that they don't already know? That is one of the most irritating people to talk to. They know it already before you. You can't teach them anything. I'm here to tell you, nobody knows everything. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You must seek out wise counsel. If you want to be wise, you got to surround yourself with wise people. There's a principle called the circle of five. How many of y'all are familiar with the circle of five? The circle of five says this: if you look at you and look at the five people closest to you, your incomes are very similar. Your station in life is very similar. If you look at your lives, where you are in life is very similar. You become like the five closest people to you. And I tell people a lot of times, as young people will come into my office, I remember there was one young man, and he said, you know, he had been in a lot of trouble. He had an ankle bracelet on. And I'm like, man, what is going on? You didn't have that when I last saw you. And he's just telling me about what he's going through. And I told him, young man, if you want to change your world, if you change your circle, you change your world. You change your circle, you change your world. So I began to give him phone numbers of people that can help him change his circle. Because instead of running the streets, I said, what do you want to do? If you could be anything in life, what do you want to do? He said, I'd like to drive for Metro. That's what you want to do? Well, let me give you the numbers of people who drive for Metro and show you how that can happen. The circle of five. Listen, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The Bible, listen, that's a circle of five, but do you know that's a proverb? That's a biblical principle. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, whoever walks with wise will become wise. Whoever walks with fools will suffer harm. Whoever walks with wise will become wise. Listen, I heard one person say, listen, if you hang out with four millionaires, you might become the fifth. And that's a principle in business and life, but it's true. You become like the people you choose to hang around. You want a better walk with God, then you might need to leave some of your girlfriends alone who are out here running the street. You want to get more intimate with God and closer with God, you can't afford to spend a whole lot of time with people who don't read the word. If you want a good marriage, it makes no sense for you to hang out with your single friends. Or your married friends who are always complaining about their spouses. Because how many have heard, listen, how many married people have friends just like that? It used to frustrate me. I'm in the gym, and him, man, my old lady gone this week. I'm so glad the old lady gone, the kids gone. I'm like, the old lady gone? Your wife is the old lady? You happy your wife and kids are gone? Well, my wife and kids are gone, I don't even go home. She'll tell you, if they not go home, I drive around till everybody get home. I don't want to be home without y'all. That's just me. I like being with my family. Now, every now and again, it's nice when the kids get a chance to go on. And it's just the two of my mother said, can I keep the kids this week tomorrow? What? The two of us were supposed to go, listen, when she said that, Tracy said, you want to plan the date or do you want me to plan it? I said, we go dinner and a movie. We got home. We dropped the kids off. We got home. And she said, you hear that? We ain't going nowhere. Quiet. If we could have let that dog out in the street, I would have done that. But listen, if you want to be wise, you got to hang around wise people. You got to hang around folks who have had good marriages or people who are working on their marriages. That's how you get better. Listen, the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, get all the advice and instruction you can and be wise the rest of your life. Surround yourself with people who can help you be where you want to be. When I knew God was calling me to ministry, to pastor, what I wanted to do, listen, what I did, one of the first things I started doing is thinking, I praise God that God has given me a mentor, a built-in mentor in my father. He has given me wise counsel all my life. But what God said, listen, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So I wanted to find some men of God other than my father who can pour into my life and show me what it means to be a pastor and a leader. So I began to seek out mentorship. Because listen, I want to get the most advice and wisdom that I can so that I can be all God called me to be. That's what God is calling you to do. Seek out wise counsel. If you can't, and that means you got to start relationships. You got to be intentional about seeking out those relationships and finding those people. You got, if you can't find the people, listen, get some good Christian radio, find some good authors and read their books. But most importantly, pick up the Word of God. Most importantly, pick up the Word of God. The wise counsel is all in here. Begin to read and study the Word of God. Yes, you got to seek out individuals, seek out other places where you can get the information. But man, guess what? All of the information you're getting is steeped in the book. Get into the Word of God. Amen? You got to weigh the worth of wisdom. You have to have an intense fear of God. You got to seek out wise counsel. And letter E, if you want to be wise, if you want to wise up, letter E stands for you must exercise humility. You must exercise humility. Back in 2005, there was a German long jumper. Her name was Bianca Kapler. And what happened is in track and field, in one of the games, she won a gold medal. She had the highest jump. She, I think they said she jumped 22 feet, 10 inches. The next closest person to her was 21 feet, 11 and 3/4 inches. Won the gold medal. But this is what she got attention for. When they gave her the gold medal, she gave it back. She said, I can't take that. They look at her, why? She said, I know I can't jump that far. They must have measured it wrong. She said, listen, because in my, all of my practices and my training, every jump that I had was nearly a foot less than that. This can't be right. So what they did, they went back and they looked at it and they determined this. She was right. They measured it wrong. And instead of the gold, she won the bronze. And people can look at it and say, wow, she was honest. But it wasn't just her honesty. It was her humility to understand what her limits were. She knew that, listen, I've never gone that far. And if you want to be wise, what you got to understand, you got to know what your limitations, you got to be able to admit you don't have it all together. She could have easily taken it, but in her humility, she was willing to say, listen, I don't have it all together. And if you want to be wise, listen, you got to seek wise counsel, but you got to exercise humility. You got a desire. You got to understand that I need somebody to pour into my life. I know I don't have all the wisdom. And you got to exercise that humility to surrender yourself to go and get it. If you want to be wise, you got to be humble. The Bible in Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Only when you're broken can you be healed. Only when you recognize there's a problem can you be healed. I've told this story many times, and some of you may remember it, some of it don't. I'll never forget, I was practicing at the VA hospital, and a gentleman came into me to see me, and he had gangrene set in. And his foot was putrid. I mean, the bone was just sticking out right there in my treatment room. And I was saying, sir, we need to admit you into the hospital. We need to go just... We need to remove part of your foot. And you know what he told me? No, I just want you to cut my toenails. Just cut my toenails down. I know there's got to be some more medical technology. All y'all want to do is just cut stuff off. There's got to be some more medical technology. I'm going to wait till somebody shows me that to do. I said, sir, if you wait, you might die. This infection will spread into your bloodstream. You'll become septic and you may die. You need to be a man. No, I said I just want you to cut my toenail. No humility. He came in there trying to tell me what he needed. He no humility. And that lack of humility will cause him not only to lose a limb, but to lose his life. Same thing is true with us. If you want healing, if you want to improve your station in life, if you want a better marriage, if you want better finances, you got to be willing to exercise humility. It's like, I don't have it all together. And that's so hard sometimes for Christian folks to do. We like to show everybody that we got it all together. But I'm here to tell you, I'm up here talking about wisdom as somebody who makes unwise decisions. This is just part of the job. I have to proclaim what the word says. It doesn't say I have to have it all together. Because the fact of the matter is, there are some areas of my life that I do not exercise wisdom in. And I got to be willing to be transparent and say, listen, I don't have it all together. And that's the same thing is true with you. True wisdom, if you want to wise up, you must weigh the worth of wisdom. You must understand it's more valuable than silver, more precious than gold. It's got to be more valuable than anything to you. It's in one hand is life, and riches and honor are in the next hand. Not only that, you must have an intense fear of God. You got to come to understand who God is and that he created you for his glory and his purpose. Then you must seek out wise people to counsel you, to advise you, to keep you accountable, to pour into your life, and whatever they tell you, you got to be humble. Because when you seek that wise counsel, they're gonna point out some stuff where you might be off, and what you can't do, you can't get defensive and walk away. You got to exercise humility and allow that and be broken so that you can be healed. Anybody want to be wise today? This month, or for the rest of the month, we're going to be looking in different areas that Proverbs talks about in wisdom. And one of the wisest things you can do if you are here is begin to open the Word of God and read it. And what better place to start than Proverbs? Proverbs has 31 chapters. There's 31 days in most months. You could take one proverb a day. One proverb a day. Wouldn't that be awesome? One proverb a day. Listen, a dose of wisdom every day, every morning. Begin to read the Word of God and begin to apply those principles to your life. And when you do that, watch what God does. Watch he transform areas of your life. And listen, let me just tell you this. With this wisdom piece, it's not going to change overnight. When you begin to see it and get to gain that wisdom, everything ain't going to change overnight. It's going to be a challenge. You know, as God begins to open your eyes and show you areas where you're lacking in wisdom. Like you said, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give it to you. Can we all stand together? It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge. Part of that fear of God is understanding why God created you. See, it's got to be worth more than anything, we said. We got to know its worth. Then we have to have a fear of God, seek counsel, and exercise humility. And this morning, there's somebody here who might need to exercise humility and admit, I don't have my life all together. And if you want to get your life all together, it will start with a fear of God. It will start with a relationship with God, coming to understand who God is and who he created you to be. This morning, I want to let you know that God loves you. He created you to be in relationship with him. That's the facts. God wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. But that relationship, we are born for that relationship, but that relationship was broken because of sin. Sin simply is the unwise decisions we make to disobey God. God, in all of his wisdom, has a plan. And he has given us this plan in his word. But man, when we choose to do our own thing instead of God's thing, that's sin. And the Bible says we're born in sin. And that sin that we're born in has separated us from God. But I'm here to tell you, God wants you back. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to redeem you, meaning to get you back. That your sin has separated us from God. But what God did, he paid the price for your sins. By sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. He was buried and he rose again. Why did he do that? He had to do that because sin must be paid for. The Bible says that, listen, that the payment for sin is death. There has to be a sacrifice made for our sins. And there has to be a perfect sacrifice. And no human being can pay for their own sin. But God loved you so much and he wanted you back so bad that what he said, what I will do, I will be the sacrifice for their sins. So what he did, he became man, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He came to this earth, he lived, and he died, and he was tempted with everything that you get tempted with, and he did not sin so that he would qualify to be a perfect sacrifice so he can get you back with him. And he allowed human beings like you and me to crucify him. He shed blood, hung on a cross, and died with you in his mind. He did it just for you, so that you can have a relationship with him. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me really quick. We're talking about wisdom today. The wisest thing that you can do is admit that you are a sinner separated from God. Believe that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you, that he was buried and then he rose again. And then make the personal choice to invite him into your life, to forgive you of all of your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. That's the wisest decision you can make. If you'd like to make that decision today, I want you to repeat after me silently right where you are. I want you to pray this prayer. Say, dear God, thank you for loving me. Today, I admit that I am a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe he was buried and he rose again. And today I make the conscious choice to invite you into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. With your head bowed and your eyes still closed. If that prayer that I just prayed, if you repeated that prayer, if that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, could you raise your hand right where you are? I want to connect you with somebody who can speak with you. Is there somebody who prayed that prayer? That prayer expressed the desire of your heart today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you raise your hand if you prayed that prayer this morning? Is there one? Second call is to those of us who said, listen, Pastor Dwayne, I prayed that prayer before, but I want to begin to walk in wisdom. I want to begin to walk in wisdom. I want you to pray for me that I will have a fear of God, that I will surround myself with wise people. And to ask God, you want to ask God to help you humble yourself to receive wise counsel today. If that's you, could you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Amen. I see those hands. I see those hands. God, help me to humble myself, to receive wise counsel. Bring people into my life, God, that I can trust that will counsel me in wisdom and truth. I see those hands. Anybody else need prayer? I see those hands. Hallelujah. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I see the hands. You see these hands, Lord. You're watching. You know the desire of their heart. I pray, Lord God, I thank you that as they raise their hand, you are already working to bring it to pass. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as a church, not just these individuals, but all of us, we'll begin to walk in wisdom, which is to walk in your word. I pray for these who raise their hand. Drive them to your word. Let them, God, begin to glean from your word and understand and begin to apply it to their lives. Surround them with people who will encourage and edify and advise them in truth. And help them, Lord God, to be able to take the punches sometime, to humble themselves, to receive the wise counsel. And cause them to see the transformation in their life. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God a hand of praise? Amen.